Isn't that amazing? Absolutely fantastic. I wonder whether you've ever picked a fight with somebody bigger than yourself and immediately come to regret it. You might have done that physically, but you might also have picked a verbal fight with someone and you launch into your argument only to discover that they know more than you, or at least they're able to put it across better than you. Well, back in the late 1800s, the German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck got so fed up with the constant opposition from a politician called Rudolf Virchow, I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, he challenged him to a duel, because that's what you did back in those days. Virchow, who happened to be a pathologist as well, claimed that as he was the challenged person, he could choose the weapon of choice. And so he pulled out two sausages. One, he said to Bismarck, was safe to eat. The other was contaminated with deadly germs. And Bismarck got to choose which he ate. Not surprisingly, Bismarck withdrew from the duel. You know, sometimes it's really sensible to concede when you're in a fight you know you just might not win. And there's been a fight, a battle raging in and on this earth since the beginning of time. It's the battle between good and evil, and it goes on around us and it goes on within us. And it's a fight, it's a battle that we often don't want to concede. The battle is, do we live our lives with God or do we live our lives alone? Do we follow Jesus or do we live in a way where we have and make no reference to him at all? And this morning, we've seen two people who've decided to let God lead and direct their lives because they recognize that God has their best interests at heart. Not only is he bigger and stronger and more powerful than them, but he's kinder and more loving and more able to guide them through life than they're able to do on their own. And they've discovered this because they've entered into relationship with Jesus. Jesus is one of the most controversial figures of all time. Wikipedia defines what and who is controversial by looking at the number of amendments that are made to a wiki page. And Jesus is up there at the top above any other religious leader. You know, we don't have to go to Wiki to know that Jesus is controversial. All we have to do is open our Bibles and we discover what a controversial person he was. He found himself constantly coming up against the religious leaders of his day. Over and over again, he was in constant and controversial opposition to them because they didn't get what having a relationship with God looked like. Jesus didn't live the way religious people expected him to live. He wouldn't stick to their rule book. He mixed with the wrong kind of people. And he also did things that were miraculous, things that nobody had seen before. And he talked about God in the way that nobody else ever did. People listened to what he'd got to say. And more than listen, they were influenced by him and they followed him. But with the religious leaders, there was a battle, a fight that went on and on. And this was because their expectation of what life with God looked like and Jesus's were completely different. And one day, out of many days, the religious leaders got cross with Jesus again. In fact, they got so cross with him, they accused him of being crazy and demon-possessed. Jesus came back at them and he said, "It's not a demon that would cause me to honor my Father. I live my life for his honor, even though you insult me for it. I never have a need to seek my own glory, for the Father will do that for me. And he will judge those who do not. I speak to you this eternal truth. Whoever cherishes my words and keeps them will never experience death." In this argument, Jesus said two really important things that are at the absolute heart of the Christian faith. The first is that it's about a life which honors God. And the second is that Jesus promises eternal life. And taking the second thing first, when Jesus said that those who follow him won't experience death, the religious leaders took him to task about this. They took this as proof that Jesus was mad. Everyone dies. That's true. But what Jesus was talking about was something that we don't talk about very much in church. Jesus was talking about judgment. Judgment before God. Over and over, Jesus tells us that he came to earth not for judgment, but for salvation. He didn't come to condemn us, but he came to save. The Bible says God didn't send his Son to the world to judge the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And the Jews didn't get this. They thought that it was everybody else that was going to be judged because they were the special chosen people. And today many of us don't think that we're going to be judged by God if we live a good life. And therefore, even today, too many people ask the question that the religious leaders said of Jesus, "Who do you think you are?" This is such an important question. Who do you think Jesus is? Jesus came back with quite a simple answer. He said, "I'm God." He said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." We sang that in that song that Jay chose as his baptismal song. I am. And this description, I am, picked up on a phrase that God used of himself in Old Testament times. When Moses asked God what he should say his name is, God said, "Call me I am." And so when Jesus said to these Jewish leaders who knew their Old Testament scriptures, "I am who I am," it was like lighting the touch paper. They were furious. Jesus was crazy and demon-possessed. Jesus is God, is what he said. God in flesh form. God with skin on. And this is a statement that continues to divide humanity into two groups. Those who believe Jesus is who he says he is, and those who don't. Those who believe that Jesus came to save us from God's judgment, and those who believe that living a good life is good enough. Those who'll never experience an eternal life with Jesus, and those who will. And when I was exploring faith myself decades and decades and decades ago, it seemed to me that all the church ever focused on was what lay after that time when I died. It seemed to be that heaven and eternal life was what it was all about. And as a new Christian in my late teens, early 20s, I fluctuated from hoping that heaven was going to be worth it, because it seemed like there was an awful lot of sacrifices I needed to make, and then panicking like crazy, thinking I'd blown it And after all my effort, I still wouldn't get there. It seemed to me that there was very little focus on the first thing that Jesus says when he answers the Jewish leaders, and that is to do with honouring God. It took me to make an utter mess of my life, to blow it so big time, I wondered whether there was any way back, to discover what Jesus meant by the first thing he told those Jewish leaders when they accused him of being crazy and demon-possessed. Jesus' life wasn't about doing the right thing. It was simply living a life that honoured his Father God. Jesus didn't follow a set of rules to do what he had to do. But because he was in relationship with his Father, he did what we always do when we love someone. Jesus simply chose to please God. When Paul and I got married, we promised to love each other. We didn't promise to be the most perfect couple. We have failed miserably. We didn't promise to never get it wrong. We have both got it wrong at least, 20 times each day. When we promised to love each other, we simply said that we would treasure the love that we have for each other. And we would keep that love as something precious and important within us each and every day. We promised to value our love highly. We would hold on to it dearly, and we would work hard to keep it alive. And we've had to work hard to keep it alive. We weren't promising to follow a set of rules. This is the way you do marriage, and this is the way you don't. Although there are some things that help keep marriage alive, and there are things that help not. What we did was commit to a way of life together, to live the kind of life that would be pleasing to each other. When we got married and we said, I do, for better, for worse, and all the rest of the things that we said to each other, we turned our backs on living life as two single people. And we turned towards living a life that was about us and we. Something that was shared, something that was mutual, and something that focused on each other, not ourselves. And turning their back on a previous way of living is what Estelle and Jay have done this morning in their baptism. They not only believe in God and who Jesus says he is, but they've decided that their life is the one, to the best of their ability, is going to honour God every day. Baptism is a public statement that says 100% I'm committed to this new way of living. A way of honouring and valuing the relationship I have with Jesus. And that's going to be evidenced, it's going to be obvious in the way in which I live my life. That's their end goal, to live a life pleasing to God. And as we've already heard in their statements, in their story, they have got it wrong, and they're going to continue to get it wrong. Today is an important day, but it doesn't mean that they run out of that water as two glowing saints that are never going to make a mistake ever again. They're going to get it wrong. They're going to do things still that they wish they hadn't. They're not going to do things that they wish that they had. But that's true in every relationship, isn't it? The good news is, God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on us the way that we sometimes give up on each other. In the words of a song we sometimes sing here, it says, His love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And in the seasons of life when I have been most ashamed of the life choices that I've made, as well as in the seasons of life when I've been the proudest, I know that that is the relationship that I have with God above. I know that that's the relationship that I have with Jesus. And I know through the grace and the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, when I mess up and get it wrong, I'm picked up, I'm dusted down, and I'm encouraged to continue on that way. I wonder, do you know today that He loves you like that? Estelle and Jay are two ordinary people in whom God has done something extraordinary, because He's transformed their lives. They don't only believe in Him, but they've decided to honour Him with the way they live. And I wonder, has God done that extraordinary work in your life as well? If you've never asked Jesus to be part of your life, if you've never chosen to be in relationship with Him, you can today. You can say, count me in. That battle, that fight is one I want to see Jesus win in me and over me and for me for the rest of eternity. You might describe yourself as a Christian because you believe in God, but you're living at this point in time to please yourself. And honouring God isn't much of your life goal at present. Today, you can ask God to turn your life around. Today, you can say, God, I've messed up. I've really made some terrible mistakes. But would you take my life and show me again what it means to honour you? Living a God-honouring life isn't something that we easily do alone. That's one of the reasons why we gather as church. And I love the scripture that Liz started our service with and her opening words, which reminded us that we're not in this journey by ourselves. We have each other as well as that cloud of witnesses in heaven above. Estelle is in a small group, and that means that she meets together with friends to read the Bible, to pray, and where her friends encourage her to keep on living that God-honoring life. And Jay is about to start on a one-to-one working through a book called First Steps so that he can be encouraged and coached and supported as he starts this life with Jesus. And maybe you today need support in living a God-pleasing life. Maybe you'd like to join a small group and you're not part of one at the moment. Or maybe actually you think, I'd really like that one-to-one and I'd like to work through something with someone that will applaud me and encourage me and help me grow. This morning, I want to ask you to respond if you sense that God has spoken to you. I'm going to ask you to respond in one, two, or three ways. First is, if you've never given your life to Jesus and you'd like to do that, then I'm going to ask you to respond. The second response is that you believe in God, you'd call yourself a Christian, but you know at this point in time you're not living a God-pleasing life and you want that to change? I'm going to ask you to respond. And the third way is that you're trying to do this God life on your own. And you know that you need someone or people around you. And it's time to join a small group or to ask for one-to-one, what we call discipleship. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, because it's hard sometimes to respond when we think that everyone is watching. And I'm going to ask you to stand if you want to respond. I'm not going to ask you to say anything, but it's helpful if you stand so that we can chat with you afterwards. If you aren't following Jesus and you want to give your life to him, can I ask you to stand and say, today is the beginning of a new life in you. Can I invite you to stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today, you believe in God, you'd call yourself a Christian, but you know that your life is not honoring God. There are things in your life that you say, I need to turn my back on this and I want to change. If that is you, could I ask you to stand? You don't need to say what it is, because God knows. But if from this day you want to live your life differently, in a way that is pleasing to God, I'd ask you to stand. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you've been trying to live your life alone. You don't need people. You can do it your way. But you know, actually, you need that encouragement. You need people alongside you. You need people encouraging you. If you want to explore what it looks like to join a small group or to get involved in some one-to-one encouragement, then I'd ask you to stand. So for those that are standing, please do take a seat. God is good. God is good. All the time, we said in the water earlier on. God is good. And he wants the very best for us. So let me pray. And then we'll conclude our service. Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, you know where we are with you. Father, you know the things we struggle with and the things that we find straightforward. Lord, you know the things that we're fearful that you might do or ask us to do. But you are always looking for our best. Scripture says that your love casts out fear. And Father, this morning, as we've responded to you in an outward visible way, as well as how we've responded personally and quietly in the privacy of our hearts, Lord, might we know as we leave this place that you always are on our side. And you call us. You call us to live a life that not is about rules and getting it right, but simply being in relationship with you and growing in our desire to please and honour you as God. So Lord, for each of us, I ask that this week you would guide us and guard us. You would watch over us and lead us, so that we might know that you look on us and say, my child, I am pleased with you. Create that as a desire within our hearts, we ask, for your glory, God. Amen.